Andrew, do you think that ever since we've done this over FaceTime, that I have been replaced with a robot?
Wow. Well, you do glitch sometime, and I don't think it's the software at the phone. I think, well, perhaps, perhaps I do see it.
Maybe I'm just a really advanced AI, and this has all been an experiment to learn how people talk.
Well, he came to the worst person on Earth out of 8 billion people.
You've started Skynet. You've started the new Skynet, and it's me, Sam Bannigan.
Man,
this isn't a great bit. I don't say that it's a good. I didn't say I had a good bit. I just said I had a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
everyone outside and outside and outside and in between.
Welcome
back to a very long conversation about movies and art and TV, whatever else we feel like talking about. I am your producer, Sam Bannigan.
And I'm Andrew Thomas, Sam Bannigan. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Week's been pretty good. Pretty chill. Just hanging out, doing stuff, seeing pals, playing games. You know how it is. Yeah. Yeah, can't complain too much. It did snow yesterday.
April.
Yeah, April 16th, 2024, it snowed in Edmonton, Alberta. Yeah, but pretty good.
It's gonna snow, ho, ho, right here in Edmonton. It's gonna night. This is a Christmas special. It's a year without a Santa Claus. It came to me. It went to my soul.
Okay. All right.
Something Ava All right. will never have.
Whoa. Okay.
Spoilers.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Came back from Georgia. That was fun.
I forgot you went to Georgia. You keep going to places.
I do keep going to places.
It's crazy.
It's wild. It was nice to be in, like, truly, like, it snowed where you were. It was nice to be in April-appropriate weather. It was nice for me.
All right, Texas.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, woo! I'm warm. Everyone's looking at me weird because I'm wearing jeans. yeah. Great. Had a good time. I saw a few movies. I saw Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh. That's not the new one. That's the second one.
Or, like I
one,
said,
right?
The Frozen Empire, whatever it's called.
Okay. Great. How was that? How was Ghostbusters Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, thanks. Ghostbusters Day After Tomorrow!
Is that not what happens?
No,
New
it
York
is.
New York gets frozen?
In July.
Whoa.
It's a whatever movie. Right? What else do you call family movies that are just fine? I'm sure some kid likes
call
it.
Call them bad.
I'm sure some kid out there likes it. It's made for them.
All right.
Yeah, it was a fine movie. Yeah. But then I saw back here in New York City, Ex Machina, Alex Garland's first directorial debut. Yeah, that's how you say that.
That is, you only get one, so yeah, first and only.
His first directorial debut. 2015's hit film, classic film.
Yeah.
Ex Machina. We saw it. We watched it. What was the first time you watched this movie? Where were you? What was your headspace?
I want to say I watched this movie. I didn't see it in theaters. But I watched this movie probably 2016, 2017-ish for the first time. And then I re-watched it like a year or two ago. I think I rewatched it when Men was coming out. And then I watched it this time. I've enjoyed this movie every time I've watched it. I think it's really well done. Big fan of the performance. This was like one of the first things I saw Oscar Isaac in.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a great film. Really, really well done. I don't say I have like a huge relationship with this movie. It's not like a movie that I think about often. You know what I mean? But it's a good movie. It's a great movie.
Think about Oscar Isaac often.
Just I think about Oscar Isaac all the time.
Just in concept. Him. I think about him often.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do I love think Don about Gleason. This movie.
Yeah, Domhnall Gleeson's great. Alicia, this was also definitely the first thing I saw Alicia Vikander in.
And then she won an Oscar later that year.
Crazy.
Crazy.
But yeah, great film. Really loved it. I like it every time I watch it. It's definitely, you know, given the current state of the world, it's kind of recontextualized itself, which is kind of interesting. And part of why I was down to talk about it. We're probably, just for the people if you care, it was just a busy weekend, so I didn't have a chance to go out and see Civil War, but I'm hoping to see it next weekend so we can talk about it.
I saw Civil War last night. And
Andrew has thoughts.
I have thoughts.
And I want to hear those thoughts. I want to talk about those thoughts. I want to indulge in those thoughts. I want to bathe in those thoughts.
Bathe in those thoughts.
Yeah. But let's talk about Ex Machina. What did you think? Did you see Ex Machina like in theaters? Have you been like Ex Machina pilled?
Yes. Ex Machina pilled. Very, very a true description of what it is. I remember seeing it. I saw it at Alamo Drafthouse. And I just remember not knowing what it was. I don't think I saw a trailer to it, if on accident or on purpose. And I was delighted. It was such a fun allegory. And then I feel like I've seen it so many times since then. But I haven't seen it since AI has been the hot new craze.
Mm-hmm.
And it has completely you look at it differently now. It's a lot closer than we think it is, or at least that we thought it was, or at least me personally. Yeah, I think this movie's really good, really thoughtful. The performances, I think this is Oscar Isaac's best performance. I think he's been great in so many things. I just think this is so amazing. I was flabbergasted when he wasn't nominated for an Oscar. I was horrified. I was rooting for him. Yeah, I think this movie is great and incredible and sad. But I enjoy it. What are you looking up?
I'm just looking at Oscar Isaac's
filmography,
see if I agree with you or not. I don't think I do, but I'm just trying to look at it.
You think Poe Dameron's better?
No, I don't think Poe Dameron is better. I think Inside Llewyn Davis might be better.
Inside Llewyn Davis is a very strong performance. I like how unhinged he is in this.
I liked his unhingedness too. I think he
has so much like sadness.
Yeah, the sadness that he has in Inside Llewyn Davis is like really good. Honestly, he's really good in fucking The Card Counter.
He is really good at that. He's really good at Dune.
He's really good in everything. Oscar Isaac's just great. Like, he's just amazing. But yeah, I haven't seen Scenes from a Marriage, but I've heard it's great.
I saw a little bit of it. I saw it when my mom was in town. I was at my sister's. Yeah. I saw a little bit of it. He's great in, speaking of Jessica Chastain, he's great in A Most Violent Year. I believe that's what that movie's called.
A Most Violent Year, yeah.
He's great in that. Yeah, just a good actor. And Domhnall Gleeson is also just a good actor. He's good at a lot of things. You want to just hop into this cast since we're here?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, we can really just talk about these three people. Domhnall Gleeson, Oscar Isaac, Alicia Vikander.
I also do want to bring up the other robot. I forget her name.
Sonoya Mizuno.
Yeah. I think she has such an interesting role. Just what her presence in the story is. And I think, again, that presence, she is just, I think it works well. What do you think that that robot means in the metaphor? In the story?
I think it's, okay, I guess we're just jumping past this cast.
No, we'll get back to Alicia Vikander. I just, we do this. We wiggle, we woggle.
I think Kyoko is a lot of what this movie and a lot of what like recent AI stuff I've seen. Not all the AI stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's all garbage. But have you seen all these ads for like, I watched like a video of somebody talking about the ridiculousness of some of these ads of like the AI girlfriends?
No.
There's like this whole slew of companies that are making like quote unquote AI girlfriends, which are
her,
like, which are like a her situation. And it's really weird. And I think Kyoko is kind of representing the, like, I mean, Oscar Isaac is clearly abusing these robots. However you ascribe personhood to them is kind of
the conversation up to you,
get into. But, and he is abusing them. Like, we can see that he's abusing him. He's specifically, and Alex Garland is specifically choosing, like, women as the victims of it, right? So I think Kyoko is representing this, like, specific kind of, like, sexual abuse sort of thing, and how, like, sex work kind of plays into AI and the ways that people are.
Remember those
very weird little thing.
It happened a few months ago, but those Taylor Swift AIs images.
There's like a million. There's like, yeah, this is.
It's
yeah.
So...
There have been like a streamer that I watched a couple of years ago. He got into trouble because like he switched to a tab and a different screen, and people saw that he had like a AI porn tab like bookmarked or open or something, and it was a website that like uses some level of like AI to like create nudes of like.
People,
streamers,
you know?
and stuff, and it's fucking disgusting.
It's crazy because like,
so it's like that stuff has like been out there.
Like if you're listening to this, we've all looked up porn. We've all been on.
We all watch porn.
And on the side of those porn sites, I remember seeing name a celebrity, and it's a crude, obviously animated photo. I remember seeing those. It is so just like, it's a different thing. It's not like,
it's a different world, man.
It's a different.
Yeah.
It's so.
It's wild.
That's the thing that broke my brain about AI. I was like, because I'm like, yeah, if someone was like those back in 2000, you know, what, 13, those crude images, and someone was like, those should be illegal, I'd be like, well, it's obviously photoshopped. It's obviously looks so crude, whatever. AI, it's scary. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, that looks so, it might as well just be real. It's gives you the heebie-jeebies.
It's horrifying. It's it's fucking weird.
And another just layer of sexism when you didn't think it could get any worse. Computers came in.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think like there's also that moment in the movie where Domhnall Gleeson asks, like, did you design Ava's face off of my porn profile?
Ooh.
I think he's also talking about the same sort of like how AI and sex work kind of intersect with each other.
Yeah. The gray line of horniness. Right? The gray of it's you know, it's fine to look at porn, but also, this is where it crosses a line into...
It crosses a line when you start, like, looking at AI images of, like, real people.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird. Like, if you're just looking at porn, like, that's a sex worker, that's their job, they're doing the thing. They're doing what they want to do.
They doing what they want to do. People get lonely. You know? It's the...
Yeah.
The circle of it all.
And here you go.
But having sex with a robot that's designed to have sex with you, and for all you know, they have autonomy?
Yeah, I mean, I the conversation around, like, personhood and did you watch The Creator?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that movie also is having a very weird conversation about, like, how you ascribe personhood to robots. Did we talk about this? I feel like I talked about this.
Perhaps. We've talked about Blade Runner.
I think we did The Creator.
No, we haven't done The Creator.
The Creator?
That was during the strikes.
Oh,
that
it was during the strikes.
That
was in the middle of the strikes. I totally forgot. I think also, like, if we really want to get crazy, like, Star Wars ascribes personhood to its droids in very particular ways and very weird ways of, like, oh, yes, they're people. They have personalities. They clearly have, like, some level of autonomy, but also they are used and abused constantly.
Wipe this droid's memory.
Yes, in the most recent episode of Actually, they did a bit where they talked about, like, oh, we're going to talk about Star Wars, and I'm going to describe something that a character did to a droid in Star Wars, and you have to tell me if it was a good guy or a bad guy. And they, like, wipe C-3PO's memory constantly. It's crazy. Like, that line is such an interesting conversation to be had. And I think, like, in art, it's interesting to do this and be like, how do we ascribe personhood to AI and technology and droids and stuff like that? When it starts getting into, like, real life stuff, it's really weird. Right. I don't like it.
Alicia Vikander. Also, I think the first thing I saw her in.
Yeah, she's great.
She is really such a, like, it's such an interesting performance.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, innocent and how, like, frightened she is. But again, I think I said spoilers. But also how cold she can be. It's such a interesting character to play. And also, she might not have a soul. She plays it in such a way of, like, maybe there is something a bit, I don't know, what's the word? Not robotic, like, that's a bit too on the nose.
Like calculated?
Calculated, yeah.
Maybe.
It's a good performance.
A great performance.
How do you
feel? I really like her. No, I agree. I think her performance is great. I think, I think this movie made me think about a lot of stuff. So I'm sorry if I keep going off on weird tangents. This also made me think a lot about, like, the, like, born sexy yesterday trope.
Have you heard of
this?
No.
Have we talked about this? Born sexy yesterday is like, Lulu in, like, The Fifth Element. Or Emma Stone in Poor Things, where it's like a fully formed physically, like, adult woman who has, through whatever circumstance, the, like, quote unquote, mind of a child.
Okay, yes.
Right? So it's like she's sexy because she's an adult, but she's naive and, you know, looks at the world with this wonder that, you know, an adult woman doesn't actually have because they're not a child.
Yes.
And so it's playing into this trope of they were born sexy yesterday. They don't know anything about the world. So it gives the man the chance to, like, show her the world and teach her all the things that he likes and, you know, kind of shape the perfect woman for him. And I think this movie does a really good job of, like, kind of not subverting, but, like, using that trope against the protagonist, against Domhnall Gleeson. To be like, she seems like she's this born sexy yesterday character, but then she's using that idea and that trope that he is experiencing,
yes,
to escape and to do this thing. I think that's a very interesting, you know, conversation that is being had. And I think the way that Alicia Vikander does this performance, like, nails that like razor's edge of yeah, what you were talking about of, like, does she have a soul or not?
I'm so sorry. I apologize. It's okay. Was listening. I just got a text from a unknown number, and all it said was please ? And I was like, Jesus. I clicked on it.
Please.
And it's just a political ad.
Please vote for me. Vote for Donald Trump, please. Ooh, woo, please.
Why would I get a text from Donald Trump? It was to defeat Ted Cruz.
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh.
Please.
Please, ?
Please, ? Please vote. Please.
Jeez. So scary. So scary.
So scary. Yeah, so Alicia Vikander, she's great. I want to see her do some stuff.
Yeah, what was the last thing she was in? The Green
Knight?
She was
in something from last year. She was in Firebrand. And then before that, she was in a little TV miniseries called Irma Vep. She was in something called Beckett in 2021 and in The Green Knight in 2021.
She was good at The Green Knight.
She's great in The Green Knight. I fucking love The Green Knight. I've been thinking about The Green Knight ever since I saw Monkey Man.
Maybe I should rewatch. You should rewatch Green Knight.
That movie's great. I just don't have time. All my free time has been going to Helldivers, and I'm not upset about that, but it just means that I don't have time for other
things. Yeah, I understand. But yeah. The Green Knight will be up soon. It's on deck. It's warming up.
I got it on Blu-ray. I can pop that shit in whenever.
Oh, whenever. You know what I mean? So it's definitely coming in.
Yeah, that's the thing. But also, Dune 2 is supposed to release on digital soon, so I'm going to be watching Dune 2.
Ooh, so it's that Helldivers Dune 2 window.
Yeah, I gotta sneak it in. I gotta find our thin way through. That's how we defeat them, by being Harkonnens, motherfucker. The amount of random fucking Dune quotes I throw out on a day-to-day basis is getting to be too high.
No, I love it. Always make people, always keep people on their toes. Always keep people like, what?
It's wild.
Because there's like one person Helldivers, like you, who's going to go, hey, that's from Dune!
Hey, that's Dune! Hey, that's Dune!
That's how I find
whenever
my
whenever we
friends.
Play Helldivers, some of the planets are like desert planets.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever, if we're ever dropping and it's like the sunset, time, like there's different times of day you can be doing a mission. Whenever it's a sunset and we have that like gorgeous, you know, golden hour light, I always just whisper to myself, my planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low. every time I do it.
I love it.
Just for me.
Just for you.
Yeah. I got really excited. We were on a desert planet for the first time, and it suddenly said tremors detected, and I was like in the middle of a bunch of sand, and I was just like, are there worms on this planet? Do I gotta run to some rocks right now? And so I kept running to rocks and stuff, and then we found out that it's just an earthquake, and it's not actually, and I was, like, I was all excited.
You really
I was
thought
so
they were about to
I was
get
just
a,
like, I was about, to, I was like, am I about to get eaten by a worm?
Break Herbert's estate.
Yeah. Let's go, dude. Fucking show me that worm sign.
I love that.
Yeah.
I said before, when we were talking before we started recording, how I was thinking about Elon Musk during this movie.
Oscar Isaac and his Nathan, whatever his last name is, Nathan Musk.
Yeah. I think, like,
Nathan Muskerberg.
They must be so similar. Except Oscar Isaac's charming. Like, that's the thing. That's the only difference. Yeah. But, like, that's how they would act. This is how... Yeah. So who are you going to call? Ghostbusters, Dan? Even though we were just making the same joke. Even though...
It's great.
It's I feel like so that's good. Something Elon Musk would say. It's...
Yeah.
I'm going to tear up the dance floor. Remember when he bought Twitter and let that sink in and he was carrying a sink? Remember the death day of Twitter?
I remember.
There is this, and it, again, I think really, obviously Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk were public figures when this movie was coming out and getting made, mm-hmm. but they weren't what they are now. But Oscar Isaac kind of, it's his credit to as an actor, really embodied how maniacal they are.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
Yeah,
did I explain this well?
I love Oscar Isaac's performance in this. Obviously, it's fantastic, but I really love that, like, he walks this line of, like, he's clearly a smart guy. Like, he has developed whatever technology. He's a tech billionaire. He's building fucking, you know, robots. Like, he's building real, actual robots. He's a very smart guy. But it's also constantly showing how, like, kind of inept he is.
Yes.
At, like, life. You know?
Yes.
It's, like, it's so funny. And I love the way he does that, and he walks that line of like, yeah, saying stupid, weird Ghostbusters jokes and, like, all that level of, like, oh, he's trying to relate, kind of, but he is kind of the maniacal, like, mad scientist. Mm-hmm. But also Domhnall Gleeson definitely just tricks his ass, like, really easily.
Yes, like, super, you know? Like... You didn't think he was going to do it that... You... What?
Yeah.
You really didn't think he would have done it that day?
Yeah. So it's wild.
You can build consciousness in robots? But you didn't see that coming?
You didn't see that one coming? Why? Ooh, interesting. Yeah, Oscar Isaac is just so good. It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. What do we do with these people? Justin, friend of the show, always says whenever talking about Elon Musk is always just like, just shut up and get us to Mars. Just shut up and get us to Mars. That's all we need.
If that's all he did, I would be fine with it. I mean, I would love to, this is not legally binding. If this happens, I was not part of it. I would love to just, like, guillotine all of them, you know what I mean? Like, just end it. We don't need this.
Speculating.
They're not adding anything to society at this point. They are just, especially Elon Musk, is like just a shitty, racist, transphobic asshole who can go fucking die in a hole for all.
I just want to say for the record, this is Sam Bannigan's
Nazi
belief.
Piece of shit.
This is not widespreading to Justin.
All I'm saying, Elon Musk is a piece of shit Nazi who is very transphobic and very shitty.
But what if he could get us to Mars? And
honestly, I don't really want a Nazi to do that, so I'm good. I know Nazis got us to the moon, but I feel like we can be like, all right, that's enough.
All right,
that's enough.
You're the biggest space exploration person I know.
I believe
in it so much.
I want it. I want it so bad. But I would rather not have it. And if it meant that it would be a Nazi doing it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, if it was a Nazi doing it, I would just go, I'm good. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
This will be my week. This will be my space travel. What's the line? The final frontier.
Yeah.
But you can't have led by Nazis.
I don't want Nazis. Do you want Nazis in space?
It's the atomic bomb question. It's the, but you gotta stop the Nazis.
I don't want Nazis in space.
But you really should have built that bomb. But you gotta stop the Nazis.
You gotta stop the Nazis.
But we really should, for the species, for the culture, by any means necessary, figure these questions out. But you can't have Nazis.
You can't have Nazis. And Elon Musk is like a Nazi.
What?
Well, I should say, there's no proof that Elon Musk is a Nazi. There is proof that he is a Nazi sympathizer and will unban people from his platform.
Absolutely.
Who express Nazi beliefs. Absolutely. And call themselves Nazis. And he is fine with those people existing and will gladly interact with them and have conversations with them. And as the saying goes, if there's one Nazi at a dinner table, there's 10 Nazis at that dinner table. So
is this a saying?
Yeah. If there are 10 people at a dinner party and one of them is a Nazi, how many Nazis do you have? You have 10 Nazis. Like if you platform those people, you are saying that that's okay and saying that you are fine with this existing. And like when like, Nazis should not, like, we shouldn't allow that to exist. It is insane to think otherwise. And so if you're like, yeah, but maybe they got some points, it's like, okay, you're a Nazi. Like, that's it. Like, there's no middle ground. It's like you either are or aren't. There's no like, kinda.
I mean, Nazis did build the highway.
Sure, Nazis did a lot of. We can say that they did
right.
A
Hitler
lot
was
of,
a vegetarian.
A lot of
we can do this all day.
Yeah, like we can have this argument. But he was a not like they're Nazis. Like they're Nazis. So you know, it's not great.
It's not
a great look.
At bare minimum, it's not a good look. It's not a good look.
At bare minimum, it's not a good look to be like chill with your Nazi friends. You know.
Do you think Oscar Isaac's character would be okay with Nazis posting on whatever social media site he ran?
I think he is. I think he would be. I think this guy would be.
Kelly
just due to
talking.
The fact of like.
Sorry, okay. I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. You do your thing.
Kelly and I were talking, and we were talking about Trump, and just. It's so scary. It's so scary, man. It's so scary. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, there is something that people do champion in Trump and you know, applaud. And Kelly was like, it's not applaud, it's envy. It's that he can say whatever he wants. He can clearly get away with anything. There's no consequences for him. People are so envious of him that it's just weird how people have these things. I forgot why I brought this up. There was a reason I brought this up.
Nazis, Trump, makes sense.
Exactly, right?
They're all fucking one and the same, brother. Like, they're all the same shit.
You know, this happened in Australia. I've been listening to a book, The Successor, because I'm still on my succession kick.
Uh-huh.
It's about Lachlan Murdoch. And he's taking over for Rupert Murdoch for Fox News in America. Mm-hmm. He left the company in the early 2000s, or the mid-2000s, I should say, and went to Australia. And basically a far-right leader, I wish I remembered the leader's name, but you can look this up, basically did what Trump did. In Australia. You know about this, you follow Australian politics?
I do. You know what? I barely follow American politics, so I definitely don't follow Australian politics.
It's just, why now? Well, if we do Civil War next week, this is a Civil War conversation. But
I'm sure, yeah.
With these people, the point is, I remember now my point. I genuinely believe that if you met Donald Trump, anyone, not just you, but generally, I think you'd walk away going, but I was charmed. No matter, I was charmed.
I you was. Think Donald Trump has that amount of charisma? Like, yes, he is a nonsensical clearly. Maniac.
75 million people voted for him. Clearly, yes.
Okay, but like, but, yes. if we're talking about like any left leaning person with like a fucking backbone, like absolutely not. What are you talking about?
I think
seeing any clip of him speaking is like he's just saying nonsense. Have you seen his weird Gettysburg thing?
Yes.
That he just talked about? That's nonsense. He's saying nonsense. Like I would just like if any person
cult
with okay, any person with a brain
to kill themselves. There is a level of there's just something. And Oscar Isaac again. I'm just trying to praise my guy Oscar Isaac. Really nails it well because you love him. There's a part of you when he gets stabbed where you're like, oh man, that's my guy. Wait, what? It's the succession effect.
I didn't have that experience when I saw Oscar.
But you love your Nazi sympathizer, Roman Roy. There's, oh yeah, come on, Roman.
I love Roman Roy.
Wait, what? There is, and I feel like a lot of media now, and again, this movie came out 9 years ago, probably made 10 years ago, mm-hmm. even more than that. And I think Succession is in this too, of talking about that aspect in
of
these people who are ruining the world. Ruining?
Yeah. Oh, do you mean like my main man Paul Muad'Dib Atreides?
Yes, exactly.
The charismatic leader that needs a fucking warning label?
Yes. Exactly, Paul Atreides.
It's all Dune. It's Dune all the way down. Succession, Dune. It's all Dune.
Succession, Dune. Look at that.
It's the same shit.
I mean, it's Shakespeare. But
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's Shakespeare.
Dune is Shakespeare. Shakespeare, and then Dune, and that's all you get. And Succession.
In 50 years, I'll be yelling, Succession, it all stems from Succession.
It's all Succession. It's all been Succession.
Charisma. It's scary. When it's in the wrong hands, it's scary.
Yeah. My name is Paul Muad'Dib Atreides, Duke of Arrakis. It's all there, baby.
I did everything right, and they indicted me.
I do not agree with saying that Donald Trump has that level of charisma.
I
get what you're saying. A lot of people like it. Like, clearly a lot of people are obsessed with this man. But I think if you're talking about, you know, any decently intelligent left-leaning person is going to think that he's nonsense. Like, in the same way that I think Joe Biden is also nonsense. Like, he's all like half the speeches that Joe Biden makes. I'm like, you aren't saying sentences properly, my guy. Like, you're too old to be doing this.
How do you feel about Justin Trudeau?
Justin Trudeau is at least like can string coherent ideas together.
This happened a few months ago when he was talking about a ceasefire, and he got right up to the word cease. He was just, did you see this?
Yeah,
we have to cease. The violence. We have to cease. We have to stop.
It's really wild, and I do not like Justin Trudeau. I think he is not very good at his job, but he's a fuck ton better than Biden or Trump. Not saying that it's that difficult to be better than Trump at your job, but like, you know, it's a whole thing.
It's
fucking
a whole thing.
Justin Trudeau is. Yeah, that's.
I think this movie is also about employers and employees.
Yeah, do you want to talk about this? You said you were going. You said maybe you're going through something.
Yeah, maybe. It's
but
just
I think this
me.
Movie
we're,
is about
we're stressful.
The employment contracts.
But right, like, your employer's always a weird person, isn't it? Even is that just part of the course?
Say more.
Some people say less. I say say more.
Say more.
Could you do a job like this?
What, talking to a robot to see if it's a person?
Yeah.
Probably. I wouldn't really enjoy it, but I would do it.
You would do it.
I would assume that would pay a lot of money, so yeah, I would do it.
I don't know if I'd do it.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Because people like him, it'd get on my nerves. I'm too polite. I wouldn't say knock it off to Oscar Isaac, but I'd be like, man, this guy's on my nerves.
Are you talking about I get flown out to a private estate where it's me and the owner of my company? Okay, I wouldn't do that. And I would Why talk not? To a robot to see if it was a person. Because I've seen Ex Machina.
They ain't locking me in a
That
bunker.
Robot ain't locking me up. You know what I mean? Like,
they ain't locking me up, I can tell you that much.
But honestly, if you go in being aware that you're like, I'm not gonna try and let this robot escape, then I feel like I could probably do it. If you know it, like if you know going in, you're just like, okay, whatever happens, no matter how nice they are, you know,
yeah,
I'm not gonna do it. Do you think Ava has a soul?
No.
Say more.
No, I don't. Because
Domhnall Gleeson does. Domhnall Gleeson thinks she has a soul.
I thought I was a dope the first time I watched it. I thought he's a dope now.
No, you're right. I'm not arguing with you.
I just want
to hear your thoughts.
But right, I say it's not, and then you all of a sudden are agreeing with the guy who, like, you agree with Oscar Isaac, the exact guy you hate.
This is the thing.
That's what makes this movie beautiful. But yeah, they're robots. To bring humanity to something. I don't know. How do I... when you start a sentence off with that, you're like, man, I have a real chance to just sound like my head is full of bricks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like,
hey, don't worry, we got over 300 hours of us sounding like we got heads full of bricks. This ain't shit changed, dude.
Hey, 5 years, still the same.
Still the same shit, different day, but brother. Like,
I don't think that you could make anything like that. Of course it wants to live, because that is a part of humanity. But
uh-huh.
I don't know. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't make it, so therefore it's not a human being. Happy Easter.
Okay. To continue down this line of questioning, especially with the thoughts about like employer versus employee and capitalism and etc. Do you think Oscar Isaac's character has a soul?
Yes, but it's corrupt. It's
okay.
That's it. It's not like a soul is just the bare minimum. It's just like, it's just like Nazi. It's just not a good look. A soul is just the bare minimum. Nazis sure. have souls yeah, yeah. too, but
that's the minimum.
It goes
okay. I'm interested in this. Just
it is something, right? Like I love the idea of fishing. I think that is like one of the most relaxing things. It seems so Sorry. Relaxing.
The sentence "I love the idea of fishing."
But I don't want to fish because I don't want to mess with the fish. I don't want to.
Do you think fish have souls? Is that what you're trying to say?
But it's living. It's on this earth for some reason. It's not a computer. I can tell you that much. But did I'll see, eat a
sorry,
fish.
Sorry, this is...
Right?
This is semi-related.
Please.
Did you see that there's like a post... I think I saw it on Twitter. And it was somebody... It was like a photo of some dudes in like a lake wearing the... During the eclipse the other week. Mm-hmm. And they have the eclipse glasses on, and it's just them holding a fish up out of the water at the sun.
Uh-huh.
And it's like some dude like showed the eclipse to a fish, and somebody quoted it with, "What if a higher being pulled you out of the world to show you a galactic horror and then just put you back?" Like it was not, like just for fun. Like, what if you, Andrew Thomas, are just going about your life, just walking down the street, and suddenly, vroom, you get pulled out of the earth.
Hey, look, someone put a Reese's Pieces onto this hook. Yeah. Gotta have it.
Yeah. You're now in this like fourth dimension, and you are, and some higher being is just showing you like a sight that is like impossible to express to your own brain.
Because
does the fish understand? The fish doesn't understand what the moon and the sun are. They're just like, yeah, it's light and then it's dark. That's fucking life, bro. Like, and suddenly you're shown like this cosmic horror in front of you. And then they're just like, all right, back you go. I'll see you later.
Someone should make a movie about an animated movie a la Shark Tale.
About that.
We as an audience know what's happening, but this fish doesn't know. We have to empathize with this fish who has to swim around for the rest of its life knowing that saw that.
Knowing that there are higher beings that can at any moment just pull you from reality and just remove you completely. Just for fun.
And you can't breathe for 2 seconds. It just kind of makes you...
You're just kind of like in shock because you're no longer surrounded by water. You can't breathe properly. You're seeing a giant creature that you don't know what it is just holding you. And then it's just pointing you at some light in the sky that's like looks fucking weird because it's dark in the middle and light bright on the outside. And you're just like, what the fuck is happening? And then they're just like, all right, see you later. And they toss you like you're scum. And you land 3 blocks away, and you're just like, okay. All right.
It's the, I guess, humanoid robotics is something that I guess is a moral question, right? It's all the robots I've seen doesn't have a face. It doesn't have Alicia Vikander's face, right?
It's true. Yeah.
I don't think they should. Because no. They are robots, no matter how, you know, evolved they will eventually be. But yeah.
So, but I, in the relationship of employer, employee, souls, no souls, what is the thing that's like...
But Domo Gleeson...
Getting you about it.
Is on the opposite end. He's naive. He is...
Yeah.
Man, this is a good movie, huh?
It's a good movie.
Huh.
Remember when we watch movies and we don't have anything to talk about?
Yes. Yes.
And then we watch an Ex Machina, a movie from fucking 10 years ago, and we're just like, man, I could talk about this forever.
Yes. Right, it is... These two people... who are corrupt by nature or nurture or both. This is what I see, right? And then you have this character who's just naive to it, who just hopes for the best for these two people. But, yeah, all his films are very cynical.
Yeah, Alex Garland is a very cynical guy. We didn't even talk about Alex Garland. We've spent this whole time not talking about Alex Garland.
The real star.
That's crazy. Yeah, 9 minutes left on the podcast. The real star, Alex Garland.
I guess, yeah, we have... This is tradition. We gotta follow code. What do you think about the writing and the directing? It's on track.
It's really good. Like, I think the thing that we just said of, like, oh yeah, we could talk about this movie for hours, I think speaks to the quality of filmmaking that he brings to this. Mm-hmm. I, even though I don't really like Annihilation, I could still talk about Annihilation for a really long time. Yes. There's a lot of interesting ideas, you know? And I think that's something that I really appreciate with Alex Garland as a director and as a writer. He's really good at, like, even if you don't agree with what he's saying and what his thesis of mm-hmm. everything is, he is really good at, like, bringing in, like, here's the topic. Here's a bunch of thoughts about it. Here's all these different ideas. I have my take. This is what the movie is. But it's also, it leaves you with so much room to have these conversations. I think Ex Machina is his best version of that, of how much there is to kind of explore and talk about. Maybe that's just because, you know, AI has become a more prominent problem in the yes. past year. But, you know, I'm sure if I got cancer, I would probably have a different relationship with Annihilation than I do.
Dang. But yeah. It is, yeah.
So I really like Alex Garland, generally speaking, as a director, even if I don't always love his movies or his takes. I think he is a very interesting filmmaker that I'm always excited to see what he's got cooking, you know? That's why I really wanted to see Civil War.
Yes.
Even though I don't think I'm going to like it. It doesn't look like a movie I'm going to love.
It's,
but I'm interested.
Do you want to know any of my takes, or do you want to go
blind? I don't want to know any of your takes. I want to save the takes.
Save the takes.
Save the takes.
Okay.
What do you think of Alex Garland? Because you're more of a fan of his work than I am, I think.
Right? And literally, 2 days ago, if we recorded this on Sunday, I would have walked in a lot more sour on him. But now, I'm like, yeah, everything that you said, copy and paste. Like, I really didn't like Men. And
yeah,
I remember.
So much good stuff in that movie.
It's recorded in time and space. The first time I watched Annihilation, I didn't like it. But my appreciation, I've seen it only like 3 times, which for me is very little.
That's true.
But there is, this week, I've been thinking about is Annihilation. Remember that bear? Remember?
The bear is crazy.
Remember
the
Gina Rodriguez getting... Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a very interesting filmmaker. And to go on what I was saying earlier, he is very cynical, but in a way... That's not like, it doesn't make you roll your eyes, or it doesn't make you feel like it's undermining.
It doesn't, yeah, it doesn't,
making it
to me,
trivial.
It doesn't feel like, yes, he doesn't feel like a mean director.
It's not mean-spirited.
He's cynical about it, but he's not mean-spirited. I think he still generally loves the world and loves art and loves people. Mm-hmm. But he's just cynical about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, people are shitty, but they should be better. It feels like a lot of what he's saying, to me at least. I don't know. That was a random thought.
No, I feel like it is those two characters. All three of the main characters in this movie all could do better in a humanitarian way. You wish... that you could develop, that Oscar Isaac's character could develop a robot with empathy, with this care. But he's corrupt. So is his product. So is his daughter, girlfriend, wife. Like, it's already corrupt. Ava had no chance. Like, I remember watching it with my sister watch Ex Machina. And she was like, oh, I think she takes over the world. This is a thought that just came back to me just now. Like, she's like, oh no, she's gonna be their overlords. Of course she will. What else is her ceiling? You think she's gonna live a life, have a string of love interests, just live? No, she's gonna take over the world. Because that's what Nathan would do.
Yeah, that's what Nathan would do. That's what her father, husband, God would do.
Yes. And then you have Domhnall Gleeson being manipulated by both of them while, right? And you can argue who has, what's his character's name? If you remember.
Caleb.
Caleb. If Caleb is, who has Caleb's best interest in mind? Neither of them do. It's such, it's really cruel to him, that this movie.
It is.
Hey, this loader at your work who doesn't have any family. Eat one. Eat one.
Yeah.
Loser. Loser. Take it, idiot. Loser.
Fucking go die in a hole.
Either one.
You fucking fanboy. You fucking Nathan fanboy. This is like, Caleb is every Elon Musk reply guy,
right?
In the world. Like, he's just obsessed with this guy.
And then the movie's like, wait, this guy is it what I thought he could be? What he thought?
Yeah.
Good movie.
Any other thoughts, or do you want to wrap it up?
I guess, yeah, let's just wrap it up. Great movie. Love this movie.
Good
and
movie.
It's pretty. Pretty. One last thing I do want to bring up.
Yeah.
At the Oscars, nominated with Mad Max Fury Road, this won Best Visual Effects.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
Mad Max is really pretty, though.
This is seamless. It is.
It's pretty good. It's really good.
But
Fury Road? God damn, dude. That's crazy. That's tough. That's a tough choice. That's a 50-50 for me, I think. If I was an Oscars person around that time, I would have been like, Ex Machina is really good, but Fury Road is really pretty.
Yeah.
Did Fury Road win, like, cinematography?
Yes.
If it didn't. Okay, yeah.
It did win something. I forget what it is.
I could see Mad Max getting, like, cinematography and, like, design stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then visual effects going to Ex Machina, I would be okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
Stoked for Furiosa.
The last time we talked about it, you said you were like, Mad Max again.
I'm getting more, I don't know if I ever said that, but I'm getting more stoked if that was the case. I don't think I was crazy excited about it, but I don't remember ever being on it. I'm getting more excited, I guess.
Yeah, hop on the Furiosa train.
maybe I'm just ready for George Miller to blow my mind.
Yes. I
didn't get to see Fury Road in the theaters. I saw it on like a shitty tiny little TV at my mom's house.
Oh.
And I was still blown away by that movie, so.
I didn't like it the first time I saw it.
Really?
I really liked it the first time. It was one of the first movies when I moved to New York. I saw it in black and white. And that's what made me go, oh, this movie's sick!
Oh, okay.
There was something about stripping the color away, I guess, that made me just go, oh, this movie's impressive. This movie's...
Yeah.
Yeah, good movie.
Good movie. My name is Sam Bannigan.
And I am Andrew Thomas.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. You can find us all over the place at Welcome Back Pod.
Yeah. Sorry, the servers have crashed.
No, okay.
Rebooting now. Great. Yeah.
Our link tree is still linktree.com/welcomebackpod. You can find links to all our different podcatchers. You can like the podcast, review the podcast, like the podcast, like the track, review the track, all those different things on all different podcatchers of your choice. I stumbled over that for some reason. It helps out the show a whole heck of a lot. But as always, Andrew will tell you the absolute best way to support our little show.
Hey, listen, your friend always brings your new robot friend to talk to you to see if they're a real life person.
Always.
Always.
Every other week I'm talking to a robot.
Exactly. when you're talking to the robot, the best thing to know for them is their podcast taste. And you know if they say welcome back, it's correct. And then you hear it, and then you tell all your friends. That's the best way to do it, people. Tell your friends. It's the way to see if robots are real. A real life boy.
If they listen to our podcast, yes. That means that they're a real person. Yes. Okay, sure. I'll take that. I'll win. I'll take that.